Let's make it ring till heaven's rafters ring with hosannas. That's what God puts in front of us to think about this morning. First person that I saw this morning here in God's house was telling me how hard it is to look at confirmation pictures when you miss people so much who are in heaven. We should think about heaven on Palm Sunday, shouldn't we? The word before us, Psalm 118, starting at verse 25. The crowds shout out, "Oh Lord, save us! Oh Lord, grant us success!" In Hebrew, Hoshiana. Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. That's talking to the leader of the parade. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. What is that all about, and why? And how did this prediction get written? What does this mean for us? Because this is God's word. Grace and peace to you then from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And say it with me, would you? Amen. Amen. We're a week from Easter. You know the calendar. And what does that mean? If relatives are coming over to your house, then I think the single syllable is, ah, at least it could be. Ah, Aunt Matilda is coming and she's terribly allergic to dust. And if we don't get all the dust out of the house, there's somewhat, we haven't dusted in so long. Ah, or, the basement. There's some, we gotta clean up the basement. When the kids get down there, can we barricade it? Maybe the, or thirdly, lastly, worstly, grandma's coming and that gunk in the bottom of the drawer of the fridge, the less than spotless porcelain in the bathroom, if grandma sees that, hopefully that syllable is replaced by the same one but in a different tone when everyone shows up, because then all the preparations are done. And it's so nice to have everybody, maybe this happens in your family, everybody's home for Easter. So nice to be together. It's just such a joy to celebrate together. That's what the psalm is about. It's got the same syllable in it. This little section we're reading, Hoshiana, you could say, or I suppose with a much more pleasant, Hoshiana, Lord save us. The na is Hebrew for insisting. Definitely. Lord save us. You're the only one. We're cheering for you. And yet why would people in heaven cry out, save us? And what's up with the palm branches in heaven and preparations, excitement? If you can picture that in terms of your own Easter, then this marvelous Easter psalm is really just about the best one we could read on Palm Sunday in a practical way too. Yes, it talks about heaven and it explains things we can't really understand in full, but in short, what's the message here? Blessed is the King who comes. Blessed is the King who comes with eternal salvation and for eternal celebration. Blessed is the King who comes. So picture, as you look at this section of the psalm, a parade. Prior to this, we've been mainly focusing on the Son of God in this psalm, and he looks regal, and he looks confident, and he approaches God, and we know this is an Easter psalm because Jesus himself quoted it. We don't have time to get into all of it, but this is the same psalm that you might know from memory, at least the part where we say, "This is the day the Lord has made. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." Jesus was dismissed by the Jewish leaders. He was kicked out of the church as well as the city. He was condemned to death, but now he's the capstone. The Lord has done this, we say, and it's marvelous in our eyes. If you can see that joy in heaven, then picture a parade here on earth, because it'll help you. A victory parade, even a military parade. I don't know if any of you can remember back to World War II parades when the whole battle was done. Amazing. I don't go back that far, of course. I can think of 1991, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and Persian Gulf War I had just ended. Tanks going down one of the biggest streets in downtown Atlanta. Big flags, cheering crowds. It was not a fair fight, and we won big, and wow, were people super glad for those who had fought on our side. And thank you, God, for victory. And if you can sense some of that, a parade, big military equipment, that's what's going on here. Except we don't read about the equipment, we just read about what the people were cheering. Oh, Lord, save us. Oh, Lord, grant us success. This must be Jesus that the crowds are shouting for, because it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we were hearing about in the gospel for today. That's what the crowds were saying on Palm Sunday. Blessed is the one who comes. Blessed in the name of the Lord, this man, and yet he's God too. The psalm makes it very clear. The Lord is God. This one approaching his Father, this is God himself. How can that be? We'll never know. But what it means practically, well, the sounds, oh Lord, save us. Oh Lord, grant us success. And what does it look like? It looks like joy. It looks like bows in hand. It looks like a festal procession. The part that might confuse us is when it says the house of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The house of the Lord was the temple in Jerusalem for people that would have first read and sung the psalm. They sang this one all the time. Like we would sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And finally you would just know at least parts of next Sunday's hymn from memory. They knew Psalm 118. That's why they were cheering for Jesus with Psalm 118 as he was coming on Palm Sunday. But from the house of the Lord we bless you? Jesus got to the temple, we read in Mark's Gospel. He gets to the temple, he turns around. In this case, we must be talking about the heavenly temple. So you should picture bright white stone. You should picture something like the Lincoln Memorial or the Washington Monument, the capital city and massive stone and tremendous honor. But in heaven, there's a temple? Revelation mentions it several times. The writer to the Hebrews says that the priests in Jerusalem, as he's writing the letter, they serve at a sanctuary that is a shadow and copy of the real one. The real one's above. We'll have to wait to find out exactly what it all looks like. But is there a throne room? Sure. Is there an altar up front? Yeah, and it's not made of wood. What's going on here? Oh Lord, save us. Oh Lord, grant us success. Who's cheering? The crowds of heaven. Save us because he's the only one. Cheering for him in a way. Lord, Hosanna, you're the one. But this part, verse 27. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. That one approaching at the front of the parade, up to the inner part of the temple, he's God. That might seem so obvious. It's like someone sitting in the back of church this morning, perhaps turning to someone else and saying, that's Pastor Witte. He's our minister. Well, duh. You don't need to say it even. They're not trying to state the obvious here. This is not trying to steer someone into more information or to make something clear to somebody else. This is a cheer. The Lord is God. Jesus has demonstrated in spades. Jesus has made it so clear forever and ever. It could never, ever be discounted or disbelieved. He's got all the power that God has. He gets all the glory that God has. Why is he coming? Blessed is he who comes. Why do we bless him in the name of the Lord? Because the Father sent him. And now the Father has recalled him. He's got nail marks in his hands to show his victory. All the honor that the Father could ever give, he is giving him at the end of this victory parade. All the angels are singing, all the saints above are crying out. And the people just can't help but the Lord is God. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine us. What has God the Son done that's so marvelous that everyone's saying, the Lord is God. Has he created a new galaxy? Bigger. Has he cured cancer? Better. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. So simple. Everyone in heaven couldn't be clearer on the fact. They're in the brightest light possible. They're seeing God face to face. And what they deserved, they know, was darkness. It's what probably the people on the first Palm Sunday most were mistaken about. Why were they crying out for Jesus? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, save us. Or again, Hosanna. Mostly a cheer. Not really a request. You're the man. Why were they cheering? Because they would have figured that their biggest problems were their backs and their back pockets. Right? If only you could kick the Romans out, then we could straighten up our backs. Then we could stand tall again. If only you could kick the Romans out, then we'd be doing better monetarily. But Jesus, of course, hasn't come to kick Romans out, even to get rid of Jewish leaders. Jesus just goes to the temple and turns around and goes back up to the hill. And he'll go and teach in the temple courts after he clears the temple the next couple days. But he's come to die, and you know the story well. It's still worth rehearsing. The Lord is God. Jesus is everything the Father is. And he has made his light shine on us. Think about your most fervent wish, your deepest hope. And then think about your gravest fear for those you love, for your own spouse, for your children or child, for your grandchildren or your niece or nephew, whoever you think of. What's your biggest fear? Is it that they would miss out on the eternal light of God forever and ever? Even if that is our deepest wish and our greatest fear, just to be here and then to see the light of heaven in God's word, it's staggering, isn't it? I don't have pure thoughts even when I'm thinking about pure light. Why do I want to be in heaven? Is it because I strongly prefer that to the opposite? Why do I want to be with angels in glory? Because the alternative with the demons in darkness and fire just does not appeal to me all that much, and I kind of think I really don't deserve that. Is my great hope, my daily prayer, my just what Paul was saying in the second lesson, my working out my salvation with fear and trembling because it's for God. I just want to thank God forever and ever for all he's done for me. I want to praise Jesus, cheer for his holy name for all eternity. Isn't it staggering? Even our purest thoughts aren't pure. Here comes Jesus. He knows it every Palm Sunday. It should just floor us. If he knows what's coming with the donkey, if he knows what the people near the donkey are going to say, then he surely knows what's coming on the cross. The Father rejecting him, his blood shed for the world, all the anger and the lightning bolts of the wrath of God on him, and yet he goes for it. He does it deliberately, and he does it for you. So humble, perfectly dedicated and humble for you. 100% dead under his Father's judgment for you. And now, the little preview, the trailer for the awesome movie we're going to watch next week. He lives. He's in heaven. The Lord is God, and he's made his light shine on us, the people in heaven say. So with boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Augustine, the pastor from North Africa, said, we will see and we will love. We will love and we will praise. Behold, what we will be in the end will never end. Blessed is the King who comes, number one, for eternal salvation, but also for eternal celebration. That's the part with the boughs and the horns. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Neither one of those is all that familiar to us, even though we sometimes break out boughs and palms and such on Palm Sunday. What's up with that? And what's up with the horns of the altar? It might help us to start in Cleveland, Ohio, of all things, because it was about a year and a half ago in the Cleveland area, a young couple in their 30s decided it was time to rehab the house they had recently bought, a house first built in the 1940s. So they started doing some work in the basement, ripping out some drywall, and up in a out-of-the-way corner of the basement, they found a small, green, old suitcase. True story. They opened up the suitcase. It wasn't locked, and inside was a 1951 newspaper, which might help date what was inside the rest of it. Then there were three small packages, all wrapped in wax paper. One thin package had nothing but 20s. One had nothing but 50s, and one had nothing but hundreds, and they were all dated from 1928 to 1934, and it totaled $23,000. And the couple was so ecstatic, they did what everybody would do today, because now it's the internet era. They started posting pictures anonymously on the internet, saying, "Hey, look what we found! This is so great!" Do you see how that connects? Here we have the dearest, deepest treasure, a treasure we wouldn't have even known about. What do we do when we see Jesus coming in the heavenly victory parade and He's God and His light has shined, has shone on us with bows in hand, joining the festal procession up to the horns of the altar? You can't keep the celebration to yourself. And as opposed to, you know what, they didn't start handing out the 20s and 50s, did they? The couple that posted the pictures. But we all join in this together. We get together up to the horns of the altar in the heavenly picture. So don't picture a wooden altar. Picture, well, in Herod's temple, the one that Jesus would have walked into on Palm Sunday, it was 75 feet by 75 feet. Can you imagine an altar like the width of this church and the same thing the other way? Massive altar. It had horns. It had corners on it. Typically, it was the priests who would walk up the steps and they would put the animals on the altar, just like today the ushers will come and then I'll take the plates and then I'll walk up to the altar. But if this parade is so full and so raucous that it goes right up to the horns of the altar, everybody with the bows in hand, well then, heaven is just full of joy and everybody's in this together, and the bows are probably because of what happened when Israel first got into the land, when God had commanded them even before they got into the land. He said, set aside 7 days every fall and grab branches, make yourself temporary shelters, have a festival of huts, have a festival of temporary dwellings. You live outside for a week. And then the Jewish custom became that on the big day in the temple, when the choir would sing, not only Psalm 118, but at the exact moment when the choir would sing, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," then the men who had taken myrtle and willow branches and wrapped them in a palm would wave their palms, their lulav, they called it. Now it's not an earthly celebration. In Psalm 118, it's in heaven. With bows in hand, with joy, just like we read in Revelation, where there are saints dressed in white, and what are they holding in their hands? Palm branches. They made it out of the desert. They made it to the eternal oasis. With bows in hand. I don't know if we're literally going to hold palm branches when we get to heaven, but we're going to cheer with all of our might for King Jesus forever. And it will be all of us. It will be all of us. It won't be that certain people get up closer to the front. In modern terms, Javanka, or in older terms, it Kennedys, and you have to kind of use an affected tone as you say it, Rothschilds and Rockefellers and guys with waxed mustaches and people drinking fancy drinks, sticking their pinkies out. It's not like they get to the front and the rest of us average people are in the back. It's everybody with bows in hand. Join in the festal procession all believers, all saints, everybody, up to the horns of the altar. What a homecoming. Blessed is the King who comes with eternal salvation for eternal celebration. Amen. And let's